Okay, hello, shiny, happy people. Very few of you guys though, I was expecting way more. Let me just start. I'm going to be recording my own self, so just, okay? Just a second. Okay, so my name is Naina, and I am a blogger. I have been blogging for about 14 years now. And please don't calculate my age. I don't want to feel old just yet. A lot of you, I think, are students, right? How many of you are students here? Do you mind raising your hands? I mean, we're all students for life, but wow. Okay, cool. So I have from whatever I've heard so far, I figured that blogging and social media is still not a very big thing in Sri Lanka. I am from India, and I can tell you that it is become a big thing there only in the last couple of years, I guess. When I started 14 years ago, no one knew what a blog was. It was something I did on the side. I had a desk job. My education is, I did an MBA in IT, and marketing was one of my electives. And I hated my job. I worked there for a year, 9 to 5. And I also used to design websites on the side for clients in the US and the UK. So social media platforms had just started in those days. The platform I used to get onto was LinkedIn. I'm sure none of the students would be on LinkedIn, but I did get a lot of work through that. And I figured out that the internet economy was a thing. So when I finally quit my job, by then I had a blog. How many of you have heard of Blogspot or Blogger? Okay, cool. So that's where I actually started on. That was the only free blogging platform, and I was a broke kid who had just worked for a year. So I started there, and I used to write about things like marketing, creativity, innovation, etc., etc. It had nothing to do with lifestyle or fashion. And after that, I started working freelancing rather as a brand designer. So I used to design websites, logos for brands, etc. What I also used to do, which no one was doing in India that time, was I used to blog about this. So if a client sent me a brief and said, okay, I want you to design a logo for me, this is the brief. Once the logo was delivered, I would get onto the blog and, you know, show the entire process from start to finish. So there would be a sketch, there would be keywords, there would be all the research I did and what the final product was and where the logo was being used. And I figured that that is what works, I think, even in the fashion and lifestyle space. I know a lot of us have, how many of you have heard of Kiara Ferragni, the blonde salad? Okay, maybe you should check it out online. She also started, I think, about same 14, 15 years ago. And she was obviously in the States, even though she's Italian. And she is the first blogger that people kind of recognize internationally. And I have been asked many times in India, where is India's blonde salad? Why aren't there any big bloggers in India? And the thing is that apart from the fact that India in general is about 20 years behind the West, it is something that a lot of brands and even bloggers don't really understand how it works, how to make it work. So my brief when I came here, I was invited, I'm really happy to be here, it's my first time in Sri Lanka, was that I should talk about engagement, how to stay relevant, whether we can make money if we blog and if we use social media. So the last point is a resounding yes. I am a professional blogger and I earn about 80 to 70% of my revenue comes from blogging and social media. I am also a professional photographer, so that helps. If you own a camera, even if you have a smartphone that takes nice photos, that is a huge advantage. If you don't know how to take pictures, everything is available online. Sometimes when I'm asked to do workshops, I say, but why do you want me to come into a workshop? It's all there on the blog. All you have to do is just go to the blog, search for keywords, and I've got content for like 14 years. But I think in person, one of the reasons why I'm happy it's a smaller crowd is that I'm really hoping you guys have questions that you would want to ask me directly. I mean, I can talk about what I've been doing in the last 14 years, but that will get boring really, really quick. So at any point, if you guys just want to raise your hand, and if you have a question, or you have a blog and it's not working, or if you want to change something about it, please just totally, you can ask. So currently what I do, I call myself an experience collector. I think one of the problems that most of my client brands have is that everyone's a blogger these days. How are we supposed to know who to choose? And even yesterday we were meeting with some people here, and they said, you know, everyone's a food blogger. They just want to come to our restaurant and eat the free food, and they don't know what they're talking about. Somebody called a shortbread crumbly. Shortbread is supposed to be crumbly. So stuff like that is there in India also. India just has way too many people. So there will always be more idiots, I suppose. So there's the same problem. Everyone's like, oh my god, everyone's a blogger. Fashion Week is flooded. What are the designers doing? They're just bloggers on the streets. It is a growing economy. I think younger people are still figuring out what to do. I still don't know what I'm doing. When you guys said who's a student, I'm a student as well. You're always learning. And this way the space is evolving, we do have people like Kiara Ferragni to look up to. But not everyone is 6 feet tall, thin, and white and blonde. So our market in India and Southeast Asia works very differently from how it works in the West. I have sat in the front row at Fashion Week in India once. And I have probably been to at least 16 seasons of Fashion Week there. It's not... people don't really take you seriously, so it can get frustrating. But then when you start making money and you start working with international brands, that's when you'll be like, oh, okay, maybe there's something happening here. But we all start small. I remember one of the first times a brand got in touch with me was they launched a new line of footwear. This was an international brand that had opened up a store in Delhi. And they were like, okay, can we send you a pair of shoes and will you do something with it? So I was like, free pair of shoes, like, okay, sure. And they sent me a pair of shoes and I put it on. I had a piece of driftwood at home and I hung them on the driftwood and I took a picture and I posted it on my blog and I was like, oh, nice shoes, you know, this is the name of the brand. And that was one of the first gigs I did in that sense. Of course, now I hopefully will not do something as embarrassing as that. But that's how it kind of started. And slowly, you know, I would talk about things like, oh, I went there for lunch. I mean, this is all stuff that I was paying for. Wherever we used to go on holiday within India, road trips, etc. So I would talk about my life in general. I used to blog regardless of whether someone was paying me. Which I think in general is a good indication of whether you can work on it as a career or not. If the market dries down tomorrow and there is no work coming in, you know, brands don't want to work with you anymore as a blogger, would you still blog? If the answer is yes, then I think you must start now if you haven't already started. And I think that is the only long tail or long term solution to running it as a business. It is, I consider myself an entrepreneur. I do client servicing. I make my own invoices. I work solo. I lead a very privileged life at this point. But if you had asked me 5 years ago, I was like, fuck this shit, nothing is ever going to happen in India. Nobody cares. Nobody invites me anywhere. Oh my god, big FOMO in life. But in the last 2-3 years, I never have to shop for garments and footwear because I just have way too much of that shit coming in. And like, please take it. We don't care if you want to do something with it, just take it. So it's, I get invited to meals. Like, I mean, I could eat a meal every day, 3 times a day, go out for free. They'll send a waiter to pick me up. So a lot of younger people, even in India, come up to me and say, oh my God, but how can we get free food? And how can we get free shoes? And I'm like, that's not the goal, ideally. That's nice. I mean, whenever I work with designers in India, I'm like, okay, I think it's that time of the year where I need to build a new wardrobe. I can say that now without fear of any repercussion or being called arrogant because I've just been slogging my ass for 14 years. So now I really don't care. I know I do good work. Do you guys have any questions? Because I don't want to just keep talking about myself. Have you seen my Instagram or my blog by any chance? My Instagram is just Naina, N-A-I-N-A, and the blog is naina.co. I blog about... So someone asked me, why did you call it lifestyle? I think it's the easiest term which covers pretty much everything. So that's one of the reasons. I did not want to call myself a photo blogger, because generally what happens then is that people think that you only talk about cameras or lenses and stuff like that. And I am not a technical photographer. If I point my camera at something and it's pretty, I take a picture. I think one of my strengths is that I shoot. So as a photographer, I can get good visuals. Secondly, I edit them. So I never post an image that is not edited. It's always post-production involved. Nowadays, I sometimes shoot on my DSLR, but I carry a wire, I plug it into my phone, and I edit it on the phone and I post it immediately. So the workflow now has become such that I don't even use my laptop, sometimes for months on end. The only reason I was using it was to send invoices, which also now I can do on my phone because there are apps available and you can do that. So life is pretty good. I think, hi, please come. So, sorry, I made everyone turn around. Cool, yeah. So I was just basically introducing myself. I'm Naina and I am a blogger. It's like an Alcoholics Anonymous meet. I'm a blogger. Even though I've been doing it for such a long time, not a day goes by when I don't look at another blogger's feed and I'm like, why did they take her? They should have taken me. Like, I've been doing this for so long. So I tell my younger friends also that that's probably never going to end. As you get older, it doesn't get better. You probably just learn to deal with it better, in the sense that you're like, okay, fine, you know, someone did that. Maybe I should do something else. And about a month ago, for the first time, I was featured on the cover of one of India's national newspaper magazines. Bloggers have been on the covers in Delhi, but it has always been supplements of, like, I think Grazia magazine or stuff like that. They've always been digital edition supplements. So, but in not just India, I think anywhere, the moment you show up in print, especially on the cover, it's this thing that, oh my god, you've arrived. The number of compliments I got, and most of the people said, oh my god, you finally made it. It's really irritating. I think it never gets old, because I'm like, I have been working so hard, and now just because I have been put on the cover with 9 other amazing women, suddenly I've made it. So the FOMO element is literally present every day. The kind of brands I work with are, the last one I did was with Reebok. India just had the sneaker fest in Delhi. And they wanted me to come in and, just post some photos with one of the photographers they had invited and generally write about the vibe of the space. So now it has come to a point where deliverables can be very specific. You know, brand will come to you and say that, okay, we want 4 Instagram updates and we want 2 Instagram stories, and how much will you charge? So this, it's a huge improvement. I'm sure it's going to happen here also. Maybe not happening right now, but eventually it will. I think maybe another couple of years, it should be as big as it is in India right now, because this is not going anywhere. Whether you are someone who is looking to be a blogger or a social media influencer, I hate that term, or you're a brand who is trying to figure out new ways to sell more product, social media, blogging, not going anywhere. I know a lot of people talk about, oh, blogging is dead. I have read articles on business or fashion and, like, blogging is dead. It's the same as saying print is dead. Not really. I still picked up a newspaper today to check my photo on page 3 or page 4. So, I don't think it's going anywhere. It's become a little harder, I think. Especially in a city like Delhi, where every person you meet is like, oh yeah, I have a blog. And they don't even know what a blog is. Being on Instagram doesn't make you a blogger, you're an Instagrammer. I would suggest that if you are considering getting into this whole space, you must have a blog. Because how many of you know about the Instagram algorithm changes? Okay, a little bit, yeah. So they basically control, your Instagram. If I am making money only on Instagram, and that is the only revenue model I have, something happens tomorrow, Mark Zuckerberg says, okay, fuck this shit, Instagram's not working, we're closing it down. Suddenly, what are you going to do? Is your business going to be dependent only on a platform? I think that's a really bad idea. It's nice to be on it, I think, in the short run. I think being featured on my blog, for example, costs a lot more money than being featured on Instagram. But on the blog, you also have more space. You have more control over how you want to display the content. how much you want to display. Like, I can post blog posts with a photo story, for example, with 35 images. So you can scroll from top to bottom and it will give you a nice idea of what the entire assignment was. You know, I do behind the scenes coverage, for example, you know, photographs. But on Instagram, if I post 70 or 30 photos in a day, I'll probably be murdered. Everybody will unfollow me and it's not going to work out. So Instagram is more, what I have seen in my experience, maybe post not more than 2 to 3 photographs a day. That is what is going to get you traction. By any chance, do Instagram and Facebook have offices in Sri Lanka? Would anybody know? No? Okay. Yeah, that's a problem because you need to... do you guys travel to India maybe sometime? If you do and if you ever figure out that there is an event being run by Facebook or Instagram, if you get a chance, I think you should go and say hi to the team. That helps. Especially if you're already doing good work and then you go and meet them and... you know, they see that you're supporting the platform and that you're utilizing the platform, then they can have a conversation with you and, you know, you can just build a relationship with them. Like any other industry, this is a relationship building game with your brands and your brand managers and with other bloggers. Although in India, the blogging scene is quite bad. Everyone hates each other. No one wants to talk to each other. That one got that gig. Why didn't I get it? Why didn't I go there, etc. Which is a little sad because I think the more transparent you are, especially in the early years of an industry that is new, you have a better chance of growing together. So I think you guys are in the right spot right now. If you can make friends with all other influencers and bloggers, etc., that's perfect. Because then you can talk about, okay, you know, that brand pays or that brand doesn't pay, or that person and that brand's team is, you know, maybe not, don't talk to them, talk to that person. I think that really helps because this is still a very new space. And even brands are not really clued in as to how to make this work. I also consult with brands to help them understand how this works, how to choose an influencer. Like, I have a series of podcasts called Influencer Marketing for Brands. Because really, everyone is clueless. I think the podcasts are about a year old and I think stuff has changed. So you have to, do you guys follow news related to this industry online? Like, do you read Business or Fashion or any other articles related to this or not? You do? Some of you do? Okay. So, yeah, I mean, what do you want to know? Do you want me to talk more about Instagram? Do you want me to talk more about, like, the blogging scene, Instagram? So, yeah, I mean, visuals, you have to have really good photos. I think I am an okay photographer. I'm not really good. But I will, if I shoot 30 photographs on an assignment, probably 2 or 3 will show up on my Instagram ever. It has to be a highly, highly curated platform. I'm also there on Twitter, for example, and my audience on Twitter is very different from my audience on Instagram. On Twitter, it's more of a conversation with CEO or rather C-level people. I follow a lot of lawyers, a lot of authors. So that's a totally, it's more on the intellectual side in that sense. But on Twitter, if I share images, I can share way more images than I can share on Instagram. On Instagram, currently, for example, like I'm here, I have partnered with some Indian designers to wear their garments to the shows or to the events here. So I am posting about one image of the garment, sometimes two if I have a better looking image of myself. And these are all shot on the phone. I am not even carrying a DSLR with me. Also, a good phone really helps. Major tip, clean the lens before you take a picture because I can't tell you the number of times I've seen that it's oily or cloudy. All you have to do is just rub it like this on your trouser and it's clean every time before you take a picture. In terms of collaborations, I think it's a very good idea to use the paid partnership with X brand instead of using the hashtag sponsored in the content. Not because I think the paid partnership thing is a lot easier. It also allows the brand to actually gain insights on that post. So instead of you having to send screenshots saying, okay, these many likes, these many impressions, etc., you just give access to the brand only for that particular post and they are able to see what you know, what the response was and things like that. Trying out new stuff is not a very good idea on Instagram, even though I do it all the time. It's in that sense, a lot of people say consistency is good for Instagram. My consistency is that I'm completely inconsistent and I've been like that since day one. So I kind of get away with it. If you're starting off new and you want to, they say it's a visual language. So when someone comes to your page, it should kind of look like, okay, this is, you know, this is Naina's work. So my photographs are very colorful generally. There's a lot of contrast happening. So, but after posting it for so long, now people are like, okay, yeah, the moment I see that photo, I know that you shot it. It takes time. You're not, these days especially, it's very, very hard to grow a following on Instagram. You can buy followers if you want, but it's literally like taking a wad of cash and burning it, because I've tried it. I've even blogged about that experience. You lose them like this, and these services will say, okay, we'll even if Instagram removes all these followers, within a month's time we'll replenish it and stuff like that. But it's not a long-term game. I know there are, senior bloggers in India who complain about a lot of younger people who come from well-to-do families and literally just throw cash every month and have 500,000 followers. And they're like, what the hell? Why? I have only about 50,000 followers on Instagram. And a lot of my clients are like, you charge so much money, Naina, but, only 50K. Like, should we buy some followers for you? I'm like, you could just give me that money instead of buying more followers. So this is I think every I did a gig with a hotel, and the director, the owner of the hotel, he spends almost 5 to 6 lakhs on print ads in the newspaper in that local town. And the cost of my gig for a 3 month campaign was 3 lakh rupees. And he said, oh, this is so expensive. And I'm like, nobody's reading that newspaper in Delhi. I have an international audience and I'm charging you like nothing compared to that. And he pays that money every day. He pays 5 lakhs every day for newspaper ads. So there is this old guard, people who have been in business and run brands, who only understand, okay, you know, there's a newspaper ad, there's a magazine ad, oh, we saw a brand in print. They have no idea how many copies of the magazine or newspaper are actually being sold, because they don't understand how print works. For the longest time, I didn't understand how print works. You, just because there is a print run of X number of copies doesn't mean that those copies are actually reaching, people who are reading it. The same thing with blogs is that just because you have a certain number of impressions or reach, for example, it doesn't mean that someone actually stopped and saw it. They could have just scrolled past. That's called an impression. So you have to know what these terms mean. Again, if you're thinking of starting, please don't wait. Just really, just start. Because the more you delay it, the more you're getting time to your competition to, you know, take off before you can. If there is no one currently in Sri Lanka who is a well-known name in the space of blogging and social media, any of you could be doing that. And you will have the first mover advantage like I did. I think that was one of the major reasons why I'm able to work with international name brands, because in those days there was no one else who was blogging. So, you know, like an Hermes or a Chanel in India were like, oh, okay, there's one blogger we know of, let's work with her. And they might regret it, but now it's too late. I have their name in the portfolio. So it's just really, just start. It's, for me, I think I'm obsessed with it. It's a lot of fun. I live and breathe social media. I want to record a video. I'm also recording audio. I do a podcast. For me, it's not just about, okay, I work with this brand. For me, it's how much value did the brand get? Sometimes brands who have a lot of budget, they'll hire me to post only on Instagram. But because they have that budget and I actually charge that kind of money to do a blog post, I'll also do the blog post, even though it wasn't in the contract. Because really, you already have the photos. You already have the content, just put it in a blog. And the client will be like, oh my god, that is so cool, we got a blog post. It's no big deal. I know people are like, no, we got paid only for one Instagram post. I am not doing an extra story. Why do it? I mean, really, like, just do it. It's going to be gone in 24 hours. Nobody cares. The client will be happy. They will probably want to work with you again. And, you know, it's business, marketing. How much visibility did you get to the brand? Brands are also figuring out how to measure this, not just in India, even abroad. So this is not a done deal that, okay, this is how it works. People are experimenting on a daily basis. So yeah, okay, I'm really tired now. Come on, ask me something. Yes, please.
What's the easy WordPress?
So yeah, I use WordPress. Yeah. I think it's very versatile. you can do, I mean, you can use it to set up your store. If you want to sell something online, you can use it to set up a multi-blogger platform. If you want, you know, 10 bloggers to contribute to it. If you're thinking of setting up your own, you know, digital empire in that sense. The themes are amazing. There's so many themes to choose from. I usually change my blog's theme once in a year. And I do everything myself though. Because, I mean, I started earlier and I got into the code, PHP, coding and stuff like that. But even for someone who doesn't code, WordPress, I think, is like the easiest platform to use. Also, they are constantly developing and coming up with new stuff. They partner with, they recently partnered with my hosting company. I host my blog on dreamhost.com. And they partnered with WordPress. So because of the plan that I am on, I got a lot of free shit from them. Because, you know, they ended up partnering. And if you want just a very basic minimal blog where you're just writing, even that works for WordPress. So yeah, I definitely think it's a very versatile platform. Even the free version is excellent. So yeah, for sure. Cool. Thanks for asking that question. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, social media, of course, I think for fashion and lifestyle, especially Instagram is the platform I would recommend. But Twitter is not bad. I think Facebook is one of those spaces where I'm just like, okay, it's there. I don't really do anything actively on Facebook. I had set up a Facebook page in the early days. So what I normally do is that if I post on the blog, for example, I use a service called CoSchedule. So it's a yearly paid service, and I can automate my updates in that. So everything goes out to Twitter, it goes out to my Facebook personal page, professional page, LinkedIn, Google+, Pinterest, it goes everywhere with one click. So it's a little expensive. I currently pay about 30,000 Indian rupees, but I don't have to sit and do it. So it makes life a lot easier. So it's called CoSchedule. I use that. I am looking for a cheaper service now because I signed up with them 2 years ago. I'm sure there's something new that's come up now. It doesn't yet post automatically to Instagram. So Instagram has opened that up where you can auto-schedule, but that's only for business accounts for now. And you can only post one photo. You can't do the carousel, and I don't think you can post a video either. I do know the team, you know, for example, in Instagram and Facebook team in India, but they don't have, especially Instagram, they don't have the final say. So for anything, they also have to write to their office internationally and then get approvals. For example, the way verification works is that you have to submit a ticket to the Indian team, then the Indian team will send it to the international team, who will then look at it and decide whether the account should be verified or not. I don't think your business should be dependent on a platform, whether it is Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. They could decide to change the algorithm tomorrow and then you're fucked. I don't want my business sheet to say, oh, Instagram changed, so today losses. No. Keep your blog. Yeah, please, sorry. Yeah. So you... See, at the end of the day, I mean, the internet could get shut down, sure. So it is honestly a very good idea to have something on the side. So I always tell myself that if something happens and, you know, the Modi government decides everything needs to be shut down in India, how am I going to survive? So I'm like, I'm a photographer. At least I can go take local studio photographs at the minimum. You know, I mean, my blog will still be there. Maybe people in India can't see it, but content will be static, but it still exists somewhere. And now there's so many ways of getting around it. There's VPNs and Tor and God knows what all. So it really depends on how badly you want to do it. But yeah, definitely I think a blog is a very good idea. It's not going anywhere. You have complete control. You can decide when, what, how. You can, on Instagram, you only men can show their tits. Women can't. On your blog, you can do whatever you want. Yeah, on Instagram, they'll ban your picture. They don't allow it. And they have their own weird controls on, nobody knows what is the definition of hate speech. This weird shit is happening all over the world. But on your blog, you can literally do anything and get away with it. People who want to come and read your blog will come and do that anyways, so it doesn't really matter. Yes.
Okay. all the blogs, everything over the hat, like restaurant, everything is the same hashtag, the same hashtag. This is great.
Great, yeah. Okay, great. Thank you. Good question. So, in terms of ethics and integrity, it can be hard, especially if you're making money. You want to say things like, oh, that was so awesome. What I usually do, or I used to do, and I still continue it in the early days, was that I said, when a brand or a brand manager would come to me, I would say, okay, you're coming to me. You want to hire me to take good pictures. My job is to promote your brand and build awareness about your brand. My job is not to say, oh, awesome, or oh, this was terrible. My job is to say, here is the brand. These are the photos I took. This was what my experience was from start to finish. So that, A, very clearly tells the brand that I am not going to, there is no control over the opinion that I'm sharing. My opinion is mine. I have done blog posts where I was paid to, for example, review a camera, and I said, please don't buy this camera. And the client was okay with it. They have worked with me again. Because there are some brands who appreciate that, and there will always be some who don't. And also, teams keep changing. So, you know, one person moves from one brand to the other. The new person who comes in is totally chill with it. Whereas now that older person has gone to the other brand and made things worse there. I don't think you need to write whether, if you go to a restaurant, you don't have to say, oh, the meal was so good. You can say things like, I liked how it was plated. That tasted really nice. I mean, if you know something about food, sure, you can talk about texture and flavor. I know shit. I know nothing about food. I'm always like, oh, that looks really nice. Can I try it? Oh, that's very tasty. That's the extent of my knowledge of food. I will talk about the interiors. I will talk about, oh, nice service, especially that guy. He was really cool. I took a photo. He served the meal really well. This cocktail was quite cool. That one was not really my favorite. So, I think it's about keeping a balance, not necessarily just because someone's paying you, know, oh my god, it's awesome. Sometimes, two, three times I think in my career, I have actually done assignments where it genuinely was awesome and they weren't even paid assignments. So I always, you know, there's always a disclosure at the end of all my blog posts saying that the client hired me to shoot this, the client hired me to experience this, but that's the extent of it. I mean, I know a lot of people say that, oh, bloggers should disclose everything. And I'm like, no, I mean, print editors have never fucking disclosed anything. They get so many free gifts and clothes and stuff like that. And, you know, a brand's clothes will be worn by a model in a shoot, for example. Are you telling us that the ad that that brand is also bought? I mean, there's no disclosure there. So why is the whole onus on bloggers? I think it's a personal choice. The audience in generally respects it if you disclose and you say that, okay, this client hired me. Also, you're adding a client name to your portfolio, so what's the harm? I mean, I love putting that paid partnership with X brand on Instagram. Because suddenly people are like, oh my god, you worked with like this, so how cool, like nobody's worked with, you know, this was never worked with an Indian blogger earlier. Other bloggers, they have worked with other bloggers, but those other bloggers didn't disclose that it was a paid partnership. So it's like, oh, they must have sent a watch for free and they must have done something. But I think it is better to put it out upfront and say that you are paying me for what I bring to the table, which is awareness about your brand. I am not going to change my opinion based on how much money you're paying me. That also happens. There will be brands who have large social media, digital budgets who will say, okay, we'll pay you double, can you write nice things about us? And I always say that, look, if it's a nice experience, for sure, I will say that it was a nice experience. But if it was not, I might not say, oh my god, it was terrible, but I'd say, okay, these were the weak points. So I think there's a way of writing it. You don't necessarily have to say, oh, everything sucked, this was horrible, oh my god, I hate it, don't go. You can say, like, okay, there are some things they could improve on, and you know, just you figure out, read good writers who have been writing in print for years, and you kind of build the language as you go along. In terms of, I think, like I said, promotion is what we do as social media influencers and bloggers. So that's the goal. And some people say, oh, bad publicity is also good publicity. I don't think so, but still there are clients who are like, are they okay, at least her, sorry, I switched to Hindi. They're like, okay, you know, at least her photo came on, you know, Nena's Instagram page. So what if she's saying that she didn't like the shoes? Like, oh, it's there. The brand got tagged, we got impressions. People know about the new shoe. So the advantage now is that, honestly, at least brands who are involved in this space don't really care. So, and they won't approach you if they don't like what you do. If they will know, like for example, none of the brands who want a controlled opinion will ever approach me in India. Because they know that I will, first thing I'll do is I'll go on social media and I'll say, this brand asked me to write nice things about them. So I have that reputation. So if you have to build that reputation. And so yeah, I mean, they're not messing around with me at least. I know a lot of younger people because it's a crazy space right now. People want to, so they're like, hey, let's do it. So what? So I'm not saying I haven't done it. I'm sure I did it in the early years also. Oh, so you kind of shoes so pretty. Maybe. But you slowly realize, you know, yesterday we were having a conversation. There was a brand, I forgot the name, but they were selling a product to use for vagina whitening and tightening. And they came to the Indian market, and of course they reached out to bloggers and they said, oh, you know, please try our product and please write about it. And I was like, oh, I mean, I get it. I'm sure there's a market for it. I'm not the right person to, no, we are paying money. So I said, that's great. And no, this is how much you are paying. And it was a shitload of money. But doesn't fit with my brand. It genuinely doesn't fit with my brand. I mean, I don't even use brightening products on my face. I'm like, okay, this is a brightening product, packaging is nice and all, but you know, guys, you guys know that I don't use a brightening product. That's probably what the extent of what I would write. So there was no way I was doing that, and luckily nobody said yes to them. And then finally, I think they got somebody from Bollywood to actually, you know, just show their face with the product, a photograph, and that's about it. So it's on a case by case basis for sure. I hope I answered your question. But yeah, I think you build a reputation and then you bloody stick to it. And I mean, I get paid a lot more than a lot of the bloggers who have like 500,000 followers in India. So I don't think it's a numbers game anymore. It used to be in the early days where everyone said, oh my God, just so many, like you have very little followers. Now they're more interested in who can actually represent their brand. A lot of designer brands, for example, in India want to work with me because they're like, oh, we like your hair, it's very Western, and we are trying to project a Western image, so we want you to wear our clothes. So when I grow my hair back, then we'll see what we do about it. But that's how it goes. Things change pretty quickly in this space, collection to collection. Cool. Anybody else? What else do you want me to talk about? I really can't talk for like an hour about myself. It's all there on the blog. I do a podcast also. It's called The Naina Redhu Experience. And it's totally ranty. I'll talk for about 15 minutes about some stupid email I got from somebody who don't know what they're doing. And I try not to use cuss words, but I think I fail. The idea is that there are friends now, of course, I have friends in PR and marketing in India who are like, oh yeah, we saw that podcast of yours, you know, that's our client. So we told them they shouldn't send out such emails. And I'm like, okay, there are some people who are genuinely looking at it as constructive feedback. A lot of it is more for entertainment sakes because it's nice to see someone with hair like this go like, oh my God, what are you thinking? How can you send an email like this? So it's, I think the space is open. I'm not really a YouTuber in that sense. I don't like do, oh, product, YouTube, or travel, or shopping haul and all. I know people do that. There is a space for it. If you enjoy it, then you should do it. And that's how you kind of, I guess, build your own voice. And it isn't all just about, you know, writing serious stuff like, oh, that collection, that was lines and this and that, whatever. I mean, I don't know anything about fashion. When people say, oh, you're a fashion influencer, I'm like, no, I'm not. I don't know anything about fashion. I don't know anything about textiles. I don't know what kind of... I was recently asking a designer what a bias cut is. I have no idea. I was like, your dress doesn't have pockets. And she's like, yeah, because it's a bias cut. And I'm like, oh shit, I have to ask somebody. That's fine. Really. I mean, and I think it is more endearing with the audience if you admit to it and say, oh, you know, I didn't even know it was a bias cut. I was at Fashion Week recently. We were sitting and had beers when finally the bars opened at 6 o'clock. And there was somebody dropped a dress behind where we were sitting. And I was like, oh, whose dress is this? Did someone drop a dress? Nobody said this. So I said, okay, I'm taking it. So put it in my bag. And I'm going to wear it here one of these days. And I'm going to say, oh, this dress, I found it at Amazon Fashion Week. If it belongs to you, I've worn it once. If you want it back, please pick it up. I mean, it's who I am in general. It's not just that I'm going to put it on the blog or put it on social media. That's just who I am. That needs to be projected because that is where the authenticity comes in. So yeah. Yeah, I'm done. Yes, please.
So you were saying that there are a lot of tensions between bloggers in India.
Mm-hmm.
So do you encourage collaboration between bloggers in Sri Lanka and if so, how do you?
Yes, you must do it. It's the best way to grow. Because like I said, you can share insider information. you will have a more even platform to approach brands. See, yeah, one of the things is don't wait for brands to approach you. Even if you have only like 1,000 followers on Instagram, for example, you can approach the brand and say that I have this idea. This is what I want to do. I think this is how it will help your current campaign, which is whatever. You obviously should be aware of what that campaign is. And you pitch it to them. And you tell them that, look, I'm pitching this to you, but that doesn't mean it's free. I'm going to charge for my time because that's technically what you're charging for. Especially when you're starting out new. If you collaborate and if you go to a brand with 5 other bloggers, they'll be more likely to say, okay, fine, let's do it. At the minimum, ask for a barter. I mean, of course, reasonably. You can't go and say one Instagram post and I want one car. Doesn't work like that. But if you, and if you go with a larger team, then you go, okay, so this person has come in with, you know, 4 or 5 other people. Each of them has like 1,000, 2,000 following on Instagram. So good for us. Let's do this. We'll take them out for dinner somewhere and we'll ask them to like post one photo on Instagram. Definitely collaborate. Like I, after working, doing this for 14 years, I have recently partnered with a PR agency. I don't think any other blogger in India currently has a PR agency. And he has been after my life, why don't you collaborate with that one? Why don't you collaborate with that one? And I was like, don't you know, they all hate me. Nobody's going to collaborate with me. And he's like, at least go and ask. So one of them, I did ask and she said yes. And she has way more following than I do, but on YouTube. So it's an advantage, you know, brands want to work with more of us. And it's a pain for a brand or a PR agency to go to each one individually and be like, oh, you do this, you do this, you do this. That's why all those BCC emails happen and then I send them a sticker saying, what is this? You want to work with me or you want to work with anyone else? So it is good, I think. There was talk of a blogger coalition also. I think that's a bit much though, because then it becomes... because I think in the States somebody had done this where there were 5 or 6 bloggers on one particular coalition platform. But if a brand wanted to work with any of them, they had to work with all 5 of them. So, in a way, that's also nice because you're getting 5 of the world's biggest bloggers for your campaign. But maybe one of them doesn't really fit with the brand's aesthetics or values. So that is a bit much, but yeah, you should collaborate. Like, go to a designer and say, can we, you know, will you give us 2 of your dresses? Both of us will wear it. We'll look like we'll do a twins campaign in Colombo and, you know, at various locations and we'll go and photograph each other. At least you'll get a wardrobe if nothing else. Especially, you know, when you're a young college student, who cares? I mean, I'm okay with building a wardrobe. But yeah, definitely collaborate if you can. What time is it? How long have I been talking?
10:50.
Oh, not bad. What? 10:15?
Yeah,
oh, okay. Cool. Not, so we still have some time. Please ask me something. What do you want me to talk about? Anything else? So I've told you what my revenue is. About 70 to 80% is, yes, please, blogging.
Sorry, yeah. About the charging, like how do you work out how much to charge? How much is...
Okay, so... It's on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
People, in the early days, I think about 3-4 years ago, I did have a rate card also. But it never works. Because the brand, you know, they will be like, oh, you charge this much money for one tweet, for example. We don't want tweet, we want Instagram update. So, I had initially, you know, for one social media update across Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, there was a certain cost. But then brands will be like, oh, Twitter is not relevant to us, we only want these 3, so now we will pay you half. So, that's rate cards rarely work. I think it also depends on how evolved the market is. Now, brands in India, about, you know, 20 to 30% of the time will write and say, okay, this is our budget. What can you do for us? This is the campaign, assuming you want to work with us. So then it's easy for me to get back and say, okay, yeah, these are the things I can do, or, you know, this is way too less. So Instagram updates, for example, now currently I'm doing it on a barter collaboration where I just have a garment that I get to keep and I post one update. So there's no money being exchanged there. But generally, if a brand approaches me and says, we want an Instagram update, this is the brief, what can you do around it? Then my rate will be different, of course. And if they say, oh, we want a 3-month long campaign where you're posting one image every week, then of course it's a more package kind of rate. Because, you know, I only have to go once and shoot 20 photos. I don't have to go each time. But going each time, so some bloggers have a minimum billing. They say that it needs to be at least, for example, 50,000 rupees for me to even show up anywhere. So that has now started happening. I do that. I mean, I'm not coming otherwise. I mean, what's the point? And my biggest problem in life right now is being invited to events. I get so many invitations. Every day there are like 2 to 3 events, and especially during fashion season or year-end season, you know, around New Year's and all, 6 events in a day. And I'm like, I am technically a professional event attender, so you pay me. Because, you know, you have to dress up. Whose clothes are you wearing? Somebody wants to send them to you. Then you have to go to the locations. 6 hours is just gone, even if you want to show for an hour. So, rates, Okay, I'm pretty transparent currently. In fact, just yesterday I answered an interview question asking me how much I make. I currently make between 0 to 3 lakhs every month. Indian rupees. Zero because it's a very up and down kind of market. There are times where for 15-20 days there is just no gigs, so I'm chilling, nothing to do in life. You know, old blog posts that I should have done 3 months ago, I dig them out, travel somewhere, and I do those. But yeah, that's pretty much what I make right now. Per post, really depends. Blog posts are more expensive than an Instagram update for sure. But it looks like I might at some point start charging way more for an Instagram update because brands don't want a blog post anymore.
Yeah, can I ask you, how do you attract blog followers? You send out emails constantly, or how does it all?
No, for me, I think my blog has been around for a while, so it has some dedicated followers who do come and check it. Otherwise, it's usually people who will probably see me like on a, you know, magazine somewhere and like, oh, who is this? You know, blog is mentioned, let me check. That's there. Otherwise, it's mostly, I think, other bloggers and brand managers who are coming and seeing, okay, what is she doing right now? Can we fit something in it, etc. So, traffic on the blog, my advantage is that there aren't many bloggers in India. Most of them are Instagrammers. So, for me to say that my blog is the biggest lifestyle blog in India for a solo blogger, it's true. There really isn't anyone else who's doing it. So I don't do any emailers, I don't do newsletters. I have heard that newsletters are a big thing. But my point is, I don't subscribe to newsletters.
If I
want to go and see what is happening, I will go and see. Please don't send me a newsletter. So my blog has never had any ads on the blog. I have never had ads on my blog in 14 years. I hate looking at ads when I go to another website. So why would I get my, you know, viewers to go through the same traumatic experience of all these banners and, you know, animations and stuff? That's a call you have to take. If you know how Google AdSense and all that stuff works and you can make a sustainable income, go for it. I mean, who am I to, I can't judge you. You probably end up making way more money than I do. I have tech bloggers in India who review phones and devices, etc. They primarily run their business because of the ads on their blogs. They don't take charge money from brands. They'll review the device and that's it. But the ads on the blog is where they get all their money from. So there are lots of models and there are lots of different bloggers who do it in different ways. Again, I mean, on Instagram, it's like you do one post, you made the money, the post goes away in 48 hours, nobody even knows it existed. So as a brand, I don't think that's a very good idea. But well, I make a lot of money, so please don't stop doing that. So, yeah. Yes.
Do you get a lot of traffic on your blog from Instagram or Twitter?
The maximum traffic I get is from
Facebook.
Yeah. Mine is Facebook for sure. I had done Facebook ads in the last time in 2015 end, which is when we had gone to New York Fashion Week. So I had bought ads on Facebook to, you know, get people to come to the blog, etc. So my views did go up. They almost tripled. But the bounce rate also went up like 4 or 5 times. So currently my blog's bounce rate on average is just about 6%, which is fucking amazing. But it went up to like, I think 20% or something. So I was like, no, I can't do this. So I shut down the ads and I have never placed another ad on Facebook. Also, it's too bloody expensive. So yeah, Facebook is one. I also get traffic from Reddit. You guys know Reddit? So yeah, Reddit sometimes, because people will sometimes share a picture and thankfully they'll link it back to the blog. So suddenly I'll get some traffic from there. Then definitely Twitter, Instagram, and a little bit from Pinterest. Because Pinterest, again, I auto-schedule. I don't really spend time, but I have friends, bloggers who spend a lot of time on Pinterest and they get the majority of their blog traffic from Pinterest. But you need to have an image-heavy blog for that so that you have images to share on Pinterest, for example. But yeah, definitely Facebook is where I get most of my traffic from, which is weird because I don't really engage with anybody on Facebook. It's just there, auto-posts. Most of my engagement happens on Instagram, Twitter, and then on the comment section on my blog. Sometimes people will leave comments, which is rare now. It doesn't happen as much as it used to. People are tired. There are just so many of us in India who say everyone's a blogger. Fashion Week is there is more about bloggers than about designers. Has any of you been to Delhi Fashion Week or Bombay Fashion Week? You guys should go just to kind of see what it's like. This is, you'll be so grateful for what you have here. It's so design focused. It's you know, it's more about the garments and stuff there. It's all Bollywood and you know, so many bloggers, and everyone's just there to be seen and photographed. And you know, people like me are complaining, like, I've been going for 16 seasons, I've never been photographed by the press. What is going on? So this is so much nicer. Cool. So yeah, that's it, is it? Nothing, yeah. Nobody's asking me anything. He said, thank you very much, and you, that was a great question. Yes, I have tried videos, and definitely way more views than likes on images. But also depends on what kind of a video it is, because I had initially started putting clips of my podcasts on that, where I was, you know, going through 1 minute rant or something, and I would put it. That varies. So if I put makeup and I dress well and the lighting is nice, and if I just twirl around, that video will get like, you know, 2000 views. But if it's something serious and I'm talking about for a minute, that will just get probably 10-15% of that. It's really, you know, I have, because I've been doing it for so long, I worry about being relevant. Because most of the competition in India, from, I was just telling someone, is from, you know, young girls who are like, just like, I can't compete with that. Just, I cannot. So, for me, I think till last year, I was like, holy shit, what am I going to do? I can't compete with all these young, hot chicks. So, it's like, people are like, oh, how do you engage with the audience? You do what you do. I know it sounds like such a cliche trope, but you, like she was saying yesterday, you have to stay true to your voice and just keep slogging it out. Don't forget to network, and not network, oh, here's my card. Spend time with people, talk to them, even if it's just for 5 minutes. And one of the things I'm working on right now is that whenever I meet someone and be like, oh, you're on Instagram, and you know, I'll follow you on Instagram. My first response is, you don't have to, it's okay. Like, no, it's fine. I need to stop doing that, right? I need to be more gracious and say thank you very much, hope to see you there or something like that. I think all creative people in that sense have that imposter syndrome, that no, it's okay, please don't look at my work, it's terrible. It's taken me a long time to be okay with, you know, putting my face up on Instagram stories, not main Instagram feed without makeup. So I have really bad acne and marks here. So it's really who you are, and you just stay with that and keep doing it. There will always be someone who is hotter, smarter, comes from a better, well-to-do family than you. You're not competing with that. So it's a crazy market. I mean, I get a lot of people who are like, oh, how can you put a picture like without makeup? You know, your acne is visible. Nena, you've got white hair. You should dye it. You know your market, your audience. And first, it's like, oh shit, you have white hair. Like, I've always had white hair, like since when I was maybe 14 years old. So it's okay. So earlier was to be like, it's okay, you must not comment on people's appearances, it's fine. But now I just ignore it. Because there's just too much trolling, especially in India, with the whole political scene is happening. And oh, how can you post a bikini picture and stuff like that? Like, please, it's my channel, I will do whatever I want. And I'm making money and you're not, so shut up. Okay, so how many of you here actually have a blog? Damn, someone, oh my god. Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you guys, it's hard. It's a lot of work. And you can't just post once in a month, you have to consistently post images, content. Yeah, okay, well, if you're thinking about it, do it now. On the blog, no. I did try something last year where I shoot street style. So whenever I'm going to an event and I'm being driven there, I would carry my DSLR and I would shoot street style, in the sense India on the road. So it's not really style in the high fashion sense, but regular people doing regular things on the road. Sometimes I would find something interesting. So I was able to produce a lot of content like that. And there was one update that would go out on the blog every day. So for all intents and purposes, it appeared that I was updating it every day, but it wasn't very impactful in terms of traffic or more views or anything. So I stopped doing it this year. But I will, on average, I try to post once in a week, or otherwise about 2 to 3 times a month is okay. But it's also because I have a bit of traction, you know, it's momentum that keeps it going in any case. And also, I document everything. So if I am interviewed by the press, or if I answer an interview question, I also publish it on the blog. And I link it back to the, you know, e-paper link or whatever it was. I will link to the journalist's Twitter handle. I will, you know, acknowledge them and say thank you on Twitter or Instagram or whatever channel they're on. So even if it's not paid, I think 90% of the stuff on my blog is not paid client work. It's, you know, like I'm here, so I might write about what my experience was and stuff like that. So I do that. But I think 2 to 3 times a month is kind of okay. Sometimes I go a bit overboard where I have like 10 stories happening in a month. But that depends. If it's a busy season, then yes, that happens. But I post on Instagram every day, and auto schedule on Twitter happens every day, Facebook every day. Yeah. And I recycle my old stuff also. Like 2 years ago, something I'd done, so I'll tweet that. Again, that's automatically scheduled. You can decide what time period you want to post it at. Though that stuff kind of helps a lot, in fact. Because I don't remember what I did 2 years ago. So that bringing it out again, and sometimes people will discover it, oh my god, now that, I mean, I was on the cover and suddenly there was an old assignment I'd done with a Bollywood celebrity, and people were like, oh my god, you photographed that guy, how cool. And I was like, it's probably 3-4 years ago, yeah, where were you then when I actually did the gig? So you have to, it's a nice strategy to recycle content also. And of course, brands feel very happy. Oh, 2-year-old assignment has shown up again on my channel. So it's fine. For me, it's no big deal. It's social capital and brands are happy with it. So why not? I honestly had expected a lot more people. I love talking anyway, so that's not a problem. But generally, if there is something that you guys want to know specifically, like in terms of fashion, I mean, can you use social media to sell your products? Yeah, sure. There is a whole WhatsApp economy in India where people actually, indie designers will launch their collection on WhatsApp. And people are like, oh, I want that dress reserved, 10 sold, stuff like that. So there are, I know, jewelry designers who launch their collections on Instagram and sell products on Instagram via that. I also know an artist, he paints. He did an online auction, live Instagram feed-wise, and he sold like 10 of his pieces just doing that. So it's up to you. There's so many options available. Whatever works and doesn't kill you, because trying to be on all platforms, because each platform requires a different approach, it's really, really hard to do that. So I always suggest that pick one or two platforms and then just focus on that and let the others have the updates also. But that's about it. I mean, recently on Instagram, people were like, oh, chronological feed is gone and I hate Instagram. Some new Vero social app or something was launched. They got 3.5 million signups in one day. All their servers crashed, and I also signed up with them. And after a week, I don't think I've ever been on back on that platform. So, I mean, it's nice to explore, go reserve your name on it for sure, because it's your brand. That should ideally be your goal. And you should be able to come to a point where it's not, oh, I am going to go there and the meal is going to be free. It should be like, they are paying me to come and taste their food and tell them if it's any good, even though I don't know anything about food. So yeah, start now. I really haven't seen anyone in Sri Lanka who's doing the whole blogging and social media thing, in the sense that, oh my god, I know that person. I did a bit of research before coming here, and I have come and asked the team also here. So this is like the perfect time for you guys to just get into it. Cool. Yeah, I'm going to be around. I mean, you can send me an email anytime if you guys have any questions. My email is there on the blog, it's on Twitter, it's on Instagram, it's everywhere. You'll be surprised that a lot of people are like, why have you put your email publicly online? I don't get any emails. So, it's totally fine. Yeah, I get emails from, smaller brands are like, oh, we don't know what to do with social media, can you help us out? And also that younger people writing and saying, I want to start my blog, will you please take a look at it? People think I must be getting a lot, but I actually don't, which is fine, I guess. Cool. Should we wrap it up? Yeah. Or, I mean, if you guys want, I mean, I can just hang around without the mic and you can come in and be like, hey, that was horrible. Bye. Cool. Okay. Thanks so much for listening. It was really nice. Thank you so much.